for you.
And life got you beat.
We coming for you.
The dope boy in the trap.
We coming for you.
These youth getting laid flat.
We coming for you.
The prostitutes and the hopeless.
We coming for you.
We trying to show you what hope is.
We coming for you.
Lost souls can be changed.
We coming for you.
Cause Jesus Christ came to save.
We coming for you. From the love of
Christ, it's love and sacrifice. Good evening, everybody. We are glad to be back here at Hope Radio, sponsored by the Captive Project here on 98.7 FM. And I'm joined today by the distinguished Robert Honey. Hello, Mr. Distinguished. Eric from Cardiac Radio Online, and the Zach Meister, the disciple legend here in Milwaukee. And then is above all our producer, the Macedonia. And one day we're going to find out why. Because we know why you named Kirk Eutychus. Because he always falls asleep during the discipleship classes. But we got to find out one day why you call Malcolm the Big Macedonia.
Big Macedonia.
So
Macedonia.
Yeah. So what we wanted to talk about today, guys, and we want to really be careful. We want to talk about the election issue that has happened, you know, in our state. I think that it would be irresponsible as a ministry if we don't take time to at least say something about it, because we don't want people to think that we're out of touch, you know, with what's going on in our city and in our state. And so I think it is important for us to say something, you know, about it. Out of all of us here, how many of us were caught off guard by the results?
I was definitely.
Yeah. And regardless of who you support, and I'm not going to go around a table and ask who voted for who or anything like that. We're not going to go in that direction. But based on everything that was said, you know, it definitely appeared that, you know, the one candidate was going to win in the story. And even the people that were on the Trump side, for example, thought like Hillary was going to win. Mm-hmm. And so they were kind of preparing for that.
Right.
And, you know, it really just caught a lot of people off guard. And so obviously there's a lot of emotion, because I kind of looked at this election like this. When my son, he used to play basketball, we'd go see him. And, you know, the games that were most exciting were the ones that came down to the wire. Mm-hmm. Now, if you can imagine this, your son is playing his heart out. He's playing his first game, and he's there, and he's going for every rebound. I mean, he's hustling. And the game comes down, you got 2 seconds left, and they're down by 2 points, and your son has the ball.
Son or daughter.
Right, son or daughter, I'm sorry. Your son or daughter has the ball, and they're coming down, and they got the ball, and they get that, they start yelling, shoot. He shoots the ball up, and it's from behind the 3-point, because that's all the time he had left, and it's all net.
Shoot.
And he wins the game. He's the hero of the game, exhilaration. But the other team, how they feel, because they had the game in the bag with 2 seconds left, and this guy or gal, they're thinking it's over. This guy or gal throws up the ball, and it's all net for a 3-pointer, and they lose the game by 1. Mm. That's kind of how this election feels for some people.
Yeah.
You know, where they felt that they had it in a bag, is down to the last seconds, and the person comes out, tosses up a 3-pointer, and wins the game. And so you can imagine the emotions on both sides of the equation, election, right, you know, right. When we talk about the election. I want to talk about that emotion, but I specifically want to talk about the body of Christ, okay? Because like we said in the past, our concern with the world is primarily that they know Jesus Christ and him crucified. In the body of Christ, it's important for us to set the proper example in situations like this so people will be drawn to either listen to our message at minimum and at maximum accept our Savior. Mm-hmm. Okay, does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah.
So, guys, tell me, what have you, again, and be, you know, be really careful and wise, you know, in how you articulate it. But since the election, what have you been seeing that's been, let's start off in discouraging. What has been kind of discouraging to see, and again, within the body of Christ?
I can't speak on the body of Christ in particular, but I'll go once again from a secular point of view. I haven't been in the media. I haven't been in the news feeds too much. But just what I've experienced on the job, I can say most of the people on my job are not believers. But I think it ties into the body of Christ as well from just some of the feedback I am getting from the body of Christ. But a lot of people are emotionally out of whack. A lot of people are just extreme about the decision. You know, I've heard racial slurs on both sides of the coin, you know, minorities and majority and ethnicity. Black, white, Hispanic, I've heard so many different comments about how it was rigged or, you know, nobody expected, you know, the way it, for it to turn out the way it is, how bad the country is going to go. I've seen so many people just putting their hope in this election. And so one thing I want to say to the body of Christ, and I know that's kind of a segue of where we're going. I'll just stop there. Let you talk. Y'all talk to the body of Christ, because I have, like I said, I haven't had much feedback from the body of Christ yet, so.
You know, I've seen, you know, the main thing is it's been on a jokey side, but I think a lot of people in the body of Christ are gravitating towards, especially in our urban community, is the thought that now that Trump has won, we're going back to the plantation, you know. Mm-hmm. And at first it's comical, but then I said, that's operating out of fear. When you go to that extreme, and
especially if you're in a generation where you never in your life saw a plantation.
Right. And so I'm seeing a lot of fear within the body of Christ, and, you know, they're really angry, really got their focus all off. Like, it's that, like Rob said, like, people are just out of whack, especially believers, because they don't know, you know, they really was pushing, you know, I guess, I don't know who they were pushing for, but I know they weren't pushing for Trump. Right. And now it seems like all hope is lost.
Okay.
Mm, fear of the future.
Yeah.
What about Eric? I feel like I live a sheltered life because I haven't had much interaction with the public since the election on Tuesday. I have my Bible study I go to is right before the election. Then I stayed up late, watched the coverage until I fell asleep.
Okay.
Then woke up and found out when they called the election early in the morning Wednesday. So I haven't had much interaction with public. So I really don't have any comment. I'm just from hearing, talking about here, this is probably the majority.
Okay.
That's good.
I haven't had much interaction.
Good. Sounds good.
I stay away from TV. I don't listen to much TV.
Zach, I find what's interesting is that term you said, it feels like people have lost hope. And I think that's kind of where we want to go with it, right?
I agree. Yep. And also, I want to say also that, like I said, my guess was right in the beginning when I was saying I haven't talked much to the body of Christ, but it probably has been a similar story of, like I said, what was in the secular. And I think, Zach, you hit the hammer on the nail. Most people are out of whack, chaotic, and it has brought fear to people are afraid or fearful of their future based on this election. One thing I can say is that I know a lot of people. No. Go ahead. I'm
wow. Go ahead. I mean, I think we definitely go in so many different directions as far as this conversation is concerned. My thing is, why are Christians losing hope? Because what that tells me is that your hope was in the wrong thing.
Yes,
and
yes.
I know you wanted to elaborate on that.
Yeah, because, you know, how I see it, how I've been looking at it, you know, I'm always looking ahead. And mm-hmm. I always, since I can remember, had this sense of what's coming next, and what does this mean? So, you know, I see it as with what's going on, the political situation and what's going on, as a perfect opportunity to present Christ, you know. And when you look at the Bible, the gospel was spread mostly through chaotic events,
yeah.
persecutions mm-hmm. and trouble and hard times or whatever, and, you know, especially in the unrest. So now is the perfect time for us to really focus on getting the gospel out, because there's a lot of disenfranchised, disengaged people out there that's hurting,
right,
and wondering. And so now it's time. But, you know, and it goes back to what we always talk about: what is being, what doctrine,
right.
what are you, what are you sitting under?
Right. And see I want to make sure it's clear: you have other Christians who are happy about the result as well.
Yeah.
And it's across the lines. It's not just white Christians that agree as far as Trump is concerned. There are a lot of minorities that are happy that Trump won in right. the body of Christ, because part of what they wanted was the agenda, like, say, for the Supreme Court, you know, and the abortion issue, and because that's important to some people. On the other hand, the poverty issue and the jobs issue was important. And so you have Christians on both sides. I had Eutychus had asked me about, you got Christian. He came in like, the Christians on this side and they're not listening to this. I say, hold on a second now. How can you say that somebody is not a Christian because they don't see or view it the same way you do? Each of us is gifted by God in a certain way, mm. in a particular way. If we all had a gift of, like Paul says, if we all are a thumb, okay, how would we go anywhere? If we're all a toe, how will we ever pick anything up? If all of us were the same, the body of Christ would not function. And so you have some people who are really interested in the poor. You have some people that are really interested in justice. You have some people that are really interested in biblical things, you know, and teaching and so on and so forth. So why would you harass somebody or be upset with somebody because they either vote or decide to do based on what they believe is right?
Well, one thing, Richard, we must, especially as the body of Christ, remember, first of all, we should not let anything divide us as the body. Mm-hmm. And one thing I've seen based on history, and I wanted to say this before when I was saying that I didn't get a chance to talk to much of the body of Christ, but I've just experienced from what I did at work. One thing is I've known just from past, I've known people who've worked Christians in the same place. And when election time come, the body is divided. Mm-hmm. Even when I remember a school that friends and family worked at in particular, where election time comes around, and this is a Christian school, the body of Christ is divided to where it has gotten emotionally out of control.
Yeah.
You know, friends ain't not speaking during the election, or they upset at each other during the election. And one thing we must remember in the body of Christ is that no matter if somebody votes the way I vote or don't vote, we must not let it supersede our love in the body of Christ.
Exactly. And I think that definitely goes toward one of the sayings that we were talking about when we were off the air. While it looks like things are out of control, behind the scenes, there's a God who hasn't surrendered his authority.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, and that's from A.W. Tozer. And so one of the things, and we looked at a video that Ernie Johnson,
yeah.
who's actually from Milwaukee,
yeah.
Grew up on 60th and Silver Spring, around that area. And his father played for the Milwaukee Braves. And what I find interesting is how he had talked about it. And if you get a chance, I really encourage people to look it up, Ernie Johnson, about the presidential election. And he talks about how he, for the first time in 42 years of voting, that he voted for a third party candidate because he just, on one hand, he had major trust issues with one, and the other, he couldn't reconcile the rhetoric that was coming, the indefensible rhetoric that was coming out of the mouth of one of the candidates. And so for the first time, he did a write-in for a guy that he knew had no chance to win, but he left the booth with a clear conscience. But what he said after that is what was fascinating. He said that, he is praying that Donald Trump is a bigger man than he was when he was campaigning. And what encouraged him was seeing him and Obama shake hands and talk and so on and so forth. And so he's saying he's hoping, and we need to give him a chance. If you're looking at it from this world perspective, you got to give him a chance because he won the election fair and square. As Christians, he said, our responsibility is to pray for him. And Eric,
that's biblical.
Right?
Yeah, that's biblical.
You were talking about that? Yep.
Okay. Yeah, this is from Romans 13, A Christian's Duty to the State. That's kind of a subtitle or Bible breaking it down. Here's the actual verse. Everyone must submit to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist are instituted by God. So then, the one who resists the authority is opposing God's command, and those who oppose it will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have its approval. For government is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, because it does not carry the sword for no reason. For government is God's servant, an avenger that brings wrath on the one who does wrong. Therefore, you must submit, not only because of wrath, but also because of your conscience. And for this reason, you pay taxes, since the authorities are God's public servants, continually attending to these tasks. Pray your obligations to everyone, taxes to those you owe taxes, tolls to those you owe tolls, respect to those you owe respect, and honor to those you owe honor.
And the scripture is talking about being sure that you're in following accordance with authority, as long as authority is following the fingerprint or the standard of God.
Right. And in this particular case, it's talking directly about law and order. In the context of scripture, it's talking about law and order, because the question that people had was, should we be listening? Because this is so contextual to what's happening now, because half of the country doesn't recognize Trump as far as the president is concerned. Right. So this falls right in context, because you had Christians asking at this time, okay, should we... We're Christians, and our authority is God. So should we be listening to government authorities? And this is why Paul wrote this, because he wanted to make it clear. Oh, no. We, as long as government is doing what God said, God set it up this way to deal with the whole community, Christian and unchristian. Mm-hmm. So as Christians, we obey because we obey the law. Okay, if we don't obey the law, we fear the government, because God put them in authority in order for that, and it gives us an atmosphere where we can do the will of God and be protected by government.
And we know that in legislature, there's one thing that's on the chopping block about the bathroom issue.
Mm-hmm.
And now, being in the body of Christ, that's something we don't follow in particular, to say, hey, I'm not going to vote so not necessarily support a president or not, but when the vote says, hey, can we have same-sex bathrooms and anybody, that's something in a Christian sense we might say, hey, I don't want to support that because I don't want somebody to say, well, I feel like a woman today. You know, a man say, I feel like a woman today, and so I'm going to go into the woman's bathroom, you know, and like we were talking about earlier, if my grandson or my granddaughter is going into that bathroom, I don't want somebody of the opposite sex being able to legislatively, by the law, go into that same bathroom.
Yep. Right.
So as long as the presidency or the government is following the laws of God, then yeah, I'm going to support and submit to him. And James says that too. When James says that we can't just break the law on our own anyway. If I follow all of these laws but break yet one, I'm guilty of the law. Mm-hmm. So I have to follow government as long as government is up under the law of God. But when they do something that is in opposition to God, then yes, I have the right to not want to follow them.
Right.
Exactly.
But then even bigger than that, like we say, just kind of bringing it all back home. Whether the person we voted for in presidency is there or not, we still must remember that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is president of the world.
That's it.
Of the universe. And so, you know.
And that's the point I wanted to go at, too, is like remembering that there will never be a perfect candidate until Jesus comes and reigns in Mount Olive, you know, after it's all said and done for his 1,000-year reign. There's not going to be the perfect candidate. We all know that. I just want us to act like Christians. You know, when I do counseling, when I counsel people, especially like in relationship counseling and stuff like that with Christians, the first thing that I say is, are you, during this process, commit that you're just going to treat each other like Christians, mm-hmm. that you're going to treat each other like Christians. Okay, that's what I want you to commit to doing. And what I mean by that is when you go to church, you ever seen how people, when they go from the car to the church, how there's like a metamorphosis that occurs, like the Incredible Hulk, mm-hmm. a startling metamorphosis occurs. And they come and you see a couple like look like this, and all of a sudden they merge together, and sometimes they hold hands as they walk into the church. Or you see people kind of say, you know, and then it's like, how you doing? Oh, praise the Lord, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, oh, saints, sanctify, feel the Lord. I mean, you get
maybe
that.
Arguing, fighting all the right, way to church. Right. Husband and wife are arguing and fighting all the way to church, you know, to get there. Hey, God bless you. Right. Hey, y'all, hey, sister.
And if you notice, even if somebody doesn't like a particular person in church, they're cordial. If nothing else, they try to be civil and cordial and things like that. And that's what I ask people to do. In this particular case, it's the same thing. In the body of Christ, you had some people that voted for Trump, to some people that voted for Hillary. The point is that we're still Christians. Rob, Zach, Eric, you guys made a point. We're still Christians first. Under the law of God. And every 4 years, Jesus ain't getting off the throne because a Republican is in there, or Jesus ain't getting off the throne because a Democrat is there.
Right. And what I liked about Ernie statement is you saw he worked through the frustration of the candidates. Mm-hmm. He said, I need to clear my conscience. He voted for the third party, but he wrapped it up with love for he wrapped it up in love. He's yeah. like, okay, I got my conscience cleared in the voting issue, but now what do I do? I still have a responsibility to love and pray and hope the best for this country. And I think that's our Christians need to believe. I mean, Christians need to go back to the fact of we are the salt of the earth. We are the moral compass. We are the reason why this country is still being sustained. And we need to still pray, regardless of how the outcome is, our duty
it's
is
like,
to heaven.
It's like, see this as an opportunity.
It's a great opportunity.
Every time an election comes up, in my opinion, as a minister, I look at whoever got in, I see it as an opportunity to minister mm-hmm. in a very unique way, especially when it comes to culture and racial reconciliation. Yes. I see it as a Christian, I see it as an opportunity to put God on display and show how God acts in spite of a world leader.
Yes.
I agree. And one thing I want to say as a side note, too, is and we talked about this earlier before getting on the air, but sometimes and having a clear conscience is the greatest thing. And I like the way, like you said, Zach, that Ernie displayed that. sometimes not voting, when you feel like, okay, I don't want to consciously vote for the lesser of two evils, sometimes not having a vote is the vote, is a vote.
Is a vote.
And so you and make sure that your conscience is clear, whether you vote for the presidency or not, but then use this as an opportunity to be able to, like you say, clearly give the gospel in a time when there's no hope. When it seems hopeless, remember that Jesus Christ is our only hope.
Amen.
No matter who's in office, Republican, Democrat, whoever.
Proverbs 21:1. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. Like the rivers of the water, he turns it wherever he wishes.
Amen.
Thanks for joining us.
Hope Radio 98.7.
Thanks for tuning in to the Captive Project Radio Discipleship Time every Friday, 7 to 7:30 p.m. You can also like us on Facebook at Captive Journey.
Or you can hit our website at www.thecaptiveproject.com. Or you can hit us through email, thecaptiveproject@gmail.com. Or hit us on the telephone, 414-771-6000.
In his name, man.